Barbados is more than just an island paradise. It's a cultural crossroads where African, British, and Caribbean traditions merge into something entirely its own. From the rhythmic pulse of crop-over celebrations to the unmistakable flavors of flying fish and cuckoo, this island offers a vibrant mosaic of history, cuisine, music, and natural beauty. Visitors will find themselves navigating UNESCO-listed streets in Bridgetown, exploring limestone caves in the Central Highlands, and tasting centuries-old rum in one of the world's oldest distilleries. Whether you're drawn by the coral sand beaches, the botanical gardens, or the culinary traditions shaped by sugar, spice, and resilience, Barbados delivers an experience that is as educational as it is unforgettable. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1. Bridgetown, where heritage meets the pulse of modern Barbados. Barbados begins in Bridgetown. As the island's capital and cultural core, Bridgetown is more than just an entry point. It's a UNESCO World Heritage Site that speaks to centuries of transatlantic history, colonial architecture, and Afro-Caribbean resilience. Visitors arriving at Grantley Adams International Airport often headed straight to the coast, but those who pause in Bridgetown encounter a city shaped by global currents. British influence is visible in the Georgian-style parliament buildings, established in the 1870s and still housing government today. The nearby National Heroes Square honors Barbadian icons like Bussa, a symbol of slave resistance, and Errol Barrow, the island's first prime minister. Just a few blocks away lies Cheapside Market, an open-air fusion of smells, textures, and colors. Here, locals sell breadfruit, sweet potatoes, and flying fish, alongside fresh coconut water and hand-woven baskets. The market not only feeds the city, it narrates it. Traders pass down family stalls through generations, and each corner is alive with Bajan dialect and regional storytelling. From a visitor's perspective, Bridgetown offers immediate access to cultural immersion. The Garrison Historic Area, a former British military headquarters, now houses the Barbados Museum and Historical Society. Within its coral stone walls, artifacts document the island's colonial past, sugar economy, and emancipation struggles. The adjacent savannah, once a training ground for soldiers, is today a popular spot for cricket, a national passion. For those interested in religion and architecture, St. Michael's Cathedral, rebuilt in 1789 after a hurricane, offers a glimpse into the spiritual legacy of British settlers, while the nearby Nidhe Israel Synagogue tells a lesser-known story. The Jewish community that settled in Barbados in the 1600s after fleeing persecution in Brazil. The accompanying museum details their role in the island's sugar industry, highlighting a multicultural legacy not always found in Caribbean travel brochures. Bridgetown's role as a modern-day commercial hub is equally prominent. Broad Street is the city's main artery, lined with duty-free shops, banks, and local fashion outlets. Yet even here, the past peeks through. Colonial storefronts have been carefully preserved, and iron balconies draped with bougainvillea hint at an older rhythm of life. For food, Bridgetown balances tradition and experimentation. Small kitchens near Baxter's Road serve steaming bowls of souse and pork stew, while fine dining options like Waterfront Cafe offer upscale takes on Bajan classics, often with live jazz performances in the evenings. And for those wanting a drink with a story, the city's many rum shops, casual, local bars, are essential stops. These establishments double as social centers, each with its own rules, regulars, and tales. One iconic experience lies just off the coast, Carlisle Bay. Once the site of shipwrecks and naval defenses, it is now a protected marine park. A short boat ride brings you to snorkeling sites filled with tropical fish, coral formations, and relics from centuries of maritime activity. Transportation in Bridgetown is straightforward. Route taxis, known as ZR vans, operate on fixed lines, blaring soca and reggae as they weave through tight corners and city streets. Though chaotic to the uninitiated, they are affordable and offer a glimpse into local commuting culture. Visitors are advised to take time here. Bridgetown is not built for rush. It rewards curiosity, whether through a quiet museum visit, a lunchtime street snack, or an impromptu conversation with a roadside vendor. As the sun sets, the city glows in amber light reflecting off the harbor. Tugboats and fishing vessels bob in the water, and the scent of fried fish and roasted breadfruit fills the air. While many travelers chase the beaches, Bridgetown reminds them that culture, deep, complicated, and alive, resides at the island's beating heart. Chapter 2. The West Coast. Beaches, coral bays, and underwater treasures. Known as the Platinum Coast, the western shoreline of Barbados is where the Caribbean Sea laps gently against sun-bleached sand and coral reefs shimmer beneath turquoise waves. This stretch, running from Bridgetown north to Speightstown, has long attracted royalty, celebrities, and discerning travelers. Yet its appeal extends far beyond luxury. Here, natural beauty, marine life, and coastal culture offer a layered experience for all types of visitors. Begin at Carlisle Bay, just south of central Bridgetown. This crescent-shaped bay is a designated marine park, celebrated for its calm, clear water, and thriving underwater ecosystem. Snorkelers and divers can explore multiple shipwrecks, some over a century old, now home to sea turtles or stingrays and colorful schools of tropical fish. Several local operators offer eco-certified snorkeling tours with guides who explain the bay's transformation from British Naval Harbor to protected reef sanctuary. Northward along the coast, Payne's Bay stands out for its combination of accessibility and marine encounters. Catamarans launch from here for half-day cruises, typically including snorkeling stops, onboard Bajan-style lunches, and open bars with local rum punch. Sea turtle sightings are almost guaranteed. Some cruises also drop anchor near Bat's Rock or Folkestone Marine Park, where coral gardens and sea fans bloom just beneath the surface. Beyond the water, the West Coast is known for its seamless blend of beach life and refined hospitality. Holtown, the site of the first English settlement in 1627, now offers upscale hotels, boutiques, and fine dining. Yet amid the high-end developments, the area maintains its charm. The beachfront boardwalk meanders past historic Anglican churches and open-air rum shops, where locals and tourists mingle over cold Banks beers. Food here is experiential. Upscale restaurants like the Tides and Lone Star deliver panoramic sea views alongside curated menus of grilled mahi-mahi, coconut shrimp, and tamarind-glazed pork belly. But equally memorable are the roadside vendors grilling fish in makeshift barrels or selling salt bread sandwiches filled with peppered ham and hot sauce. West Coast cuisine rewards curiosity, and the contrast between high-end and home-cooked is part of the allure. A short detour inland leads to Welchman Hall Gully, a tropical ravine filled with native flora and wild green monkeys. Once a sugar plantation, the gully is now a conservation area offering shaded walks beneath towering palms and nutmeg trees. This juxtaposition, coastal ease and inland retreat, makes the West Coast uniquely multidimensional. For beachgoers, Sandy Lane Beach is the most iconic. Adjacent to the famous Sandy Lane Resort, its soft sand and gentle surf create a postcard-perfect setting. While parts of the beach are private, access points remain for public enjoyment. It's a prime location for swimming, sunbathing, or simply watching the horizon shift colors at sunset. Public transportation continues to be both reliable and culturally immersive. ZR vans and transport board buses connect most beach areas, though many visitors opt for taxis or scooters for greater flexibility. Locals are quick to give directions and travel advice, often adding a few tips about where to find the best rum, punch, or hidden snorkel spots. Sunset on the West Coast is an experience in itself. As golden light stretches across the water, beach bars begin to fill. At places like Surfside or Zaccheaus, live music blends with the sound of waves and laughter. Here, the island slows down and the rhythm becomes communal, shared among strangers, locals, and the sea. Now, while many travel guides emphasize the luxury of the Platinum Coast, it is the balance of beauty, biodiversity, and cultural accessibility that defines this region. From snorkeling ancient wrecks to dancing barefoot on the sand, the west coast of Barbados is not just for watching, it's for participating. Shall we continue to Chapter 3? Food, Flavor, and Fruit Stalls. Chapter 3. Food, Flavor, and Fruit Stalls. The Culinary Soul of Barbados. Barbadian cuisine, affectionately known as Bajan food, is a flavorful tapestry woven from centuries of African, British, Indian, and Creole influence. Across the island, but especially in the markets and roadside stalls, food tells the story of survival, celebration, and identity. And no other Caribbean island is the national dish so emblematic of its people. Flying fish and cuckoo, a cornmeal and okra-based side served with the steamed fish in a spicy tomato sauce. This is not just a meal, it is a cultural landmark. To understand the island through its flavors, start at the heart, Bridgetown's Cheapside Market. By mid-morning, this open-air hub pulses with vendors calling out prices for Christophine, yams, breadfruit, plantains, and guavas. The scent of fresh herbs, thyme, marjoram, and scotch bonnet, mingles with smoked herring and sea breeze. Local cooks haggle over the best cuts of pork for Saturday souse, while juice vendors press golden apple and sorrel into recycled bottles. Food in Barbados is deeply tied to ritual. Take Saturday, for example, a day when homes simmer with pig trotters and pickled pork marinated in lime and hot pepper, served cold with sweet potato pudding. This traditional dish, known as pudding and souse, is typically eaten standing with friends at a roadside kitchen or rum shop counter. It is as much about the social gathering as the flavor. Travelers eager to experience Bajan cuisine can head to Worthing Square, a relatively new but instantly beloved food court made entirely of shipping containers. Dozens of stalls offer fusion takes on local staples, macaroni pie infused with jerk chicken, gourmet fish cakes with tamarind dipping sauce, and vegan takes on breadfruit cuckoo. The atmosphere is casual, yet the variety rivals any fine dining strip. For a more classic experience, there's the Oyston's Fish Fry held every Friday night in the southern parish of Christchurch. While technically covered in a later chapter, it's worth noting here for its culinary importance. Dozens of open-air grills serve marlin, mahi-mahi, swordfish, and flying fish, each seasoned with lime, garlic, and scotch bonnet, then wrapped in foil and served with rice and peas, grilled breadfruit, or coleslaw. The meal is incomplete without a cup of Bajan lemonade made with brown sugar, lime, and bitters, or a cold bottle of local Banks beer. Barbados is also a haven for sweet tooths. Local bakeries offer coconut turnovers, nutmeg-sprinkled cassava pone, and the iconic great cake or black cake, made with rum-soaked dried fruits and a dash of molasses. Vendors sell tamarind balls wrapped in wax paper, sugar cakes made from grated coconut and coloring, and small bags of roasted peanuts seasoned with sea salt. Breakfast culture deserves its own mention. Bajan breakfasts can include bakes, fried dough rounds, saltfish with onions and peppers, steamed plantains or liver cutters, bread rolls filled with tender seasoned liver slices. Street vendors often sell these on sidewalks near schools and government buildings, offering sustenance for locals starting their day. One underappreciated aspect of Barbadian food culture is its emphasis on preservation. Pickled vegetables, salted meats, and hot pepper sauces are household staples. Every home, rich or poor, has at least one bottle of homemade pepper sauce, usually a fiercely guarded family recipe involving scotch bonnet peppers, mustard, vinegar, and island spices. vegetarians and vegans will find increasing options across the island, especially at markets and newer pop-up restaurants. Dishes like stewed lentils with coconut milk, roasted breadfruit chips, and plantain fritters are both traditional and adaptable to modern diets. Beyond the plates and bowls, food in Barbados is a living archive, an edible expression of history, migration, adaptation, and joy. It is impossible to separate the island's cultural richness from its cuisine. Every dish carries a legacy. Every bite invites a story. Would you like Chapter 4 next, focusing on the historical heartlands of Barbados? Chapter 4, Historical Heartlands, Sugar, Struggle, and the Legacy of Empire. To understand Barbados is to confront its layered history, one marked by colonial conquest, enslaved resistance, and the global rise of sugar. While the beaches draw tourists, the heart of the island reveals its roots. Inland parishes like St. Peter, St. Andrew, and St. Thomas hold some of the island's most significant historical landmarks, including restored plantations, windmills, and heritage railways that trace the timeline of empire and emancipation. A natural starting point is St. Nicholas Abbey, a 17th-century Jacobean-style plantation house located in the parish of St. Peter. Built in 1658, it is one of only three remaining Jacobean mansions in the Western Hemisphere. Today, it operates as a museum and rum distillery, offering a rare look at life during Barbados's colonial plantation era. Visitors walk through rooms still furnished with antiques, gaze at black-and-white footage of life on the estate in the early 20th century, and hear accounts of how enslaved Africans lived and labored here, often under brutal conditions. The adjoining St. Nicholas Abbey Heritage Railway offers a short but symbolically powerful journey. The vintage steam locomotive travels through sugarcane fields and woodland, climbing to Cherry Tree Hill, a panoramic lookout over the island's east coast. From this height, one can see both the beauty and the scars of Barbados's past. The view is striking, but the land below once held thousands in bondage, feeding a sugar industry that financed British wealth for generations. Further north in the rugged parish of St. Andrew sits Morgan Lewis Windmill, one of the only functioning sugar windmills in the Caribbean. Dating back to the early 18th century, the mill once crushed sugarcane using wind power and slave labor. Today it stands as a preserved monument to that history, with educational exhibits explaining the sugar-making process and the lives of those who made it possible. Barbados's colonial system was one of the earliest and most profitable in the British Empire. At its peak in the 18th century, the island had more than 500 sugar plantations, supported by over 80,000 enslaved Africans, outnumbering white colonists by as much as 20-1. The profits from sugar, molasses, and rum helped finance not only Britain's elite, but also global trade routes, feeding into the larger system of transatlantic slavery. Yet, Barbados was also a site of resistance. Stories of rebellion are woven throughout the island's rural villages and old estates. Bussa, the enslaved African who led the island's largest slave revolt in 1816, remains a national hero. His uprising, though suppressed, signaled the beginning of the end for chattel slavery in Barbados. Today, his statue stands proudly on the ABC Highway, but his spirit is felt even more strongly in the soil of these heartlands. In Holtown, where English settlers first landed in 1627, the historical narrative begins with colonization. But just inland, in places like Bulkley Plantation or Drax Hall, still privately owned, the narrative expands, offering a sobering look at the social hierarchies, racial exploitation, and economic dependence that shaped Barbadian society. While some plantations have been converted into hotels or restaurants, others are left in ruin, a visual reminder of the uncomfortable legacies still being reckoned with. Religion also played a central role in Barbados's colonial and post-emancipation identity. Inland churches such as St. John's Parish Church and Codrington College were funded by sugar fortunes but became places where enslaved and later freed Afro-Barbadians gathered for worship, education, and political organizing. The architectural grandeur of these sites contrasts with their complicated moral past. Today, the historical heartlands of Barbados are more than tourist stops. They function as open-air classrooms, spaces where the past is preserved not to glorify, but to educate. Many local guides are historians in their own right, offering deeply personal narratives of family, land, and legacy. Walking these grounds becomes an act of remembrance. As Barbados redefines its identity in the 21st century, having removed the British monarch as head of state in 2021, these inland sites take on renewed significance. They are more than relics. They are mirrors, showing how far the island has come and how much it still carries. Chapter 5. Nature in the Center. Caves, gardens, and the island's wild heart. At the center of Barbados lies a landscape shaped not by the ocean, but by limestone and time. Here, beneath the sugarcane fields and forested ridges, the island reveals one of its most surprising features, an intricate underground world carved by water over millions of years. This inland region is not just scenic, it is geological, botanical, and spiritual. It shows visitors that Barbados's beauty isn't only coastal. It runs deep into the earth and blooms skyward in the highland jungles. The most iconic natural wonder is Harrison's Cave, located in the parish of St. Thomas. This crystallized limestone cave system was officially opened to the public in the 1980s, but its existence has been known for centuries. Inside, a network of tunnels, chambers, and streams is navigated by electric tram. Visitors glide past stalactites and stalagmites formed by dripping mineral-rich water over thousands of years. The cave's central feature is a towering cavern with a cascading waterfall, a moment that quiets even the most talkative guests. The air is cool and damp, and the echoes seem to hold the whispers of an ancient island. Beyond its visual spectacle, Harrison's Cave is a vital part of the island's ecosystem. It helps filter and store fresh water, and is home to unique formations and microfauna. Guides explain the cave's formation in simplified terms, how rainwater, absorbing carbon dioxide from the air, becomes slightly acidic and dissolves the porous limestone, creating vast subterranean corridors over time. Just a few miles from the cave lies another natural treasure, Huntie's Gardens, built into the remnants of a collapsed cave system. Created by horticulturist Anthony Hunta, this lush botanical garden is nestled inside a sinkhole and layered like a tropical amphitheater. Winding pathways lead through dense arrangements of orchids, heliconias, ferns, and palms, accompanied by classical music played softly from hidden speakers. Each plant is labeled, and every corner reveals an intentional blend of color, texture, and shade. The garden is more than an aesthetic experience. It's a lesson in conservation and ecological storytelling. Visitors often describe it as spiritual, with benches placed under giant palms and near stone fountains for quiet reflection. The feeling here is one of deep connection between plant and person, design and wilderness. For travelers interested in hiking and birdwatching, the Jack in the Box Gully and Turner's Hall Woods in the nearby parish of St. Andrew offer trails through native mahogany forests and untamed vegetation. These less developed areas showcase the wilder side of Barbados. The chirping of the Antillean-crested hummingbird and the rustle of green monkeys in the canopy are reminders that life pulses quietly beyond the beaches. Inland Barbados is also where traditional herbal knowledge survives. Local herbalists still gather lemongrass, soursop leaves, sarracee, and bay leaf to make teas for digestion, blood cleansing, and stress relief. While not always officially endorsed, these practices reflect centuries of Afro-Caribbean healing traditions. In small villages, these customs are passed down orally, reinforcing a connection between land and well-being. Sustainability efforts are increasingly focused in these areas. Organizations like the Barbados National Trust and the Future Center Trust work to preserve natural habitats and educate the public about environmental stewardship. Eco-tours are available for those who want to explore reforestation projects, composting farms, and aquaponic gardening, all part of Barbados's shift toward climate resilience. What makes the island's center so compelling is its contrast. One moment, you're in a dark, dripping cave. The next, you're surrounded by sunlight and orchids. This region isn't as busy as the coast, but that's its charm. It invites slowness, reflection, and discovery. Inland Barbados tells a quieter story, one of geology, biodiversity, and botanical creativity. For travelers willing to leave the sand behind, the island opens inward and upward, revealing its wild heart and natural wisdom. Chapter 6, Cultural Pulse, Festivals, Folklore, and the Rhythm of the Island. Barbados moves to its own rhythm. While reggae may define Jamaica and calypso echoes from Trinidad, the Barbadian sound, anchored in tukbans, steel pan, and spouge, is distinctive, local, and deeply tied to tradition. But the culture of Barbados is more than music. It is dance, masquerade, oral storytelling, and a spirit of celebration that pulses through everyday life. Nowhere is this more visible than in the island's vibrant calendar of festivals and its deep-rooted folk traditions. At the heart of Bajan cultural expression is Crop Over, the island's premier festival and its most enduring symbol of Afro-Caribbean resilience. Originally marking the end of the sugarcane harvest during the colonial era, Crop Over has transformed into a weeks-long celebration of life, creativity, and identity. It blends African masquerade, Caribbean pageantry, and modern musical performance into a full-scale national event. The festival begins in June and reaches its crescendo in early August with Grand Kadumet Day. Costumed revelers, adorned in feathers, sequins, and glitter, march through the streets in choreographed bands. Soca music blares from mobile sound trucks, and the air is thick with rum, sweat, and celebration. It is both a spectacle and a sacred ritual, liberation through movement, rhythm, and costume. But beyond the glittering surface of Kadumet lies a deeper cultural heartbeat. Bridgetown Market, Cohablapot, and Calypso Monarch competitions showcase the lyrical brilliance and social commentary that have long defined Caribbean music. Calypso artists compete with biting wit, addressing politics, inequality, and love with clever wordplay and rhythm. These performances are often more than entertainment. They're public discourse in musical form. Folklore is another vital thread in the cultural fabric of Barbados. The island's storytelling traditions are populated by mythical figures like Hartman, a ghostly creature said to haunt bad children, Steel Donkey, a fire-breathing beast made of metal, and Mother Sally, a female masquerader with exaggerated curves who dances with humor and grace during festivals. These characters aren't just stories. They appear in parades, street performances, and educational programs, teaching children about cultural identity and morality through myth. One of the most unique expressions of Bajan performance art is the landship movement. Established in the 1800s by formerly enslaved people, the landship is a dance and performance troupe modeled after the British Royal Navy, but reimagined through African-Caribbean symbolism. Dancers perform stylized ship maneuvers, like steering through rough seas, to live tuck music, a rhythmic blend of bass drum, penny whistle, and snare. The landship represents survival, navigation, and ancestral memory. Watching it perform is like witnessing living history. Tukbans themselves are central to Barbadian soundscapes. These traditional ensembles play at cultural events, parades, and rural gatherings, often accompanied by stilt dancers, Mother Sally, and Shaggy Bears, performers in heavy, fur-like costumes that leap and twist through crowds. The music is infectious, rooted in African drumming and British military rhythm, and completely unique to the island. Barbadian arts and crafts also reflect this rich cultural legacy. Pottery, woven baskets, and mahogany carvings are sold at markets and roadside stalls. The Pelican Craft Center in Bridgetown is a centralized hub where visitors can meet artisans, see workspaces, and purchase handmade goods directly from their creators. It's part shopping experience, part cultural preservation initiative. Religious and spiritual life plays an ongoing role in cultural events as well. While Christianity dominates, many Bajans still practice hybrid spiritual traditions that combine African beliefs with Christian doctrine. Obeah, though officially suppressed during colonial times, still exists quietly in certain rural areas, viewed not as dark magic, but as ancestral protection and justice. It speaks to a deeper truth, that Barbadian identity is layered, syncretic, and born of survival. Culture in Barbados is not confined to galleries or museums. It is lived and performed in the streets, markets, and hearts of the people. From the flamboyant joy of crop over to the solemn movements of the landship, the island offers a cultural experience that is as immersive as it is meaningful. Chapter 7. Southern Coast. Nightlife, beach towns, and community vibes. The southern coast of Barbados offers a different rhythm. Laid back but lively, local yet cosmopolitan. Stretching from Bridgetown through Christchurch to the island's southeastern tip, this region is where beach culture, community spirit, and nightlife converge. It's the part of the island where Bajans and travelers mix most freely, often over grilled fish, cold beer, and the steady pulse of soca music in the air. At the center of it all is St. Lawrence Gap, commonly known as The Gap. This narrow stretch of road along Dover Beach is Barbados's nightlife hub. By day, the area is calm, lined with casual cafes, boutique hotels, and guest houses. But after sunset, the Gap transforms. Neon signs flicker to life, DJs set up sound systems, and the smell of jerk chicken, fried flying fish, and curry wafts through the air. From dance hall and reggae clubs to karaoke bars and live jazz lounges, the area offers something for every rhythm. Venues like Hal's Car Park Bar and Old Jam Inn deliver that unmistakable island vibe, unfiltered, spontaneous, and always on beat. Just west of the Gap lies Worthing and Rockley, two beach neighborhoods with strong local character. Worthing Square, a cluster of food stalls, built from shipping containers, has quickly become a favorite among both locals and visitors. Here, you'll find grilled ribs, vegan curry, sushi, and traditional Bajan cutters, salt bread sandwiches filled with ham, cheese, or fried fish, served with pickled cucumber or pepper sauce. Live acoustic sets and open mic nights are common, creating a relaxed yet vibrant atmosphere that feels more like a street festival than a food court. For those seeking a quieter daytime escape, Rockley Beach, also known as Accra Beach, offers gentle waves, beach umbrellas, and a boardwalk that hugs the shoreline toward Hastings. The boardwalk is a popular morning and evening walk route, frequented by joggers, photographers, and families enjoying the sea breeze. Vendors sell coconut water straight from the husk, and local artists occasionally set up displays of jewelry, shell crafts, and paintings along the path. Further down the coast is Oystens, a fishing town that becomes the cultural heartbeat of the South every Friday night. Oystens Fish Fry is not a tourist trap. It's an authentic community gathering where generations of Bajans come to dance, eat, and socialize. Dozens of stalls offer freshly grilled marlin, mahi-mahi, snapper, and flying fish, served with classic sides like macaroni pie, rice and peas, or sweet-fried plantains. The air hums with music, reggae, calypso, and soca, and there's usually a dance circle where anyone can join. The event draws travelers, yes, but it remains a deeply local tradition, a reflection of Barbados's community-first spirit. Inland from the coast, small villages like Gall Hill and Silver Hill showcase a different side of Barbados, one rooted in everyday life. You'll find barbershops turned debate halls, corner shops that double as social spaces, and front porches where older residents play dominoes or tell stories from back in the day. These villages are reminders that Barbados isn't just a destination. It's a home to people who live and breathe its rhythms every day. Accommodations on the South Coast range from beachfront hotels to family-run guest houses. Travelers seeking immersion often choose the latter. Many owners are proud to share tips, where to get the best pudding and souse, what beach is quietest during high season, or how to use the minibuses that crisscross the region. These buses, often colorfully decorated and blasting music, are a rite of passage for visitors wanting to travel like a local. The South Coast is also home to cultural centers and events. The Garfield Sobers Gymnasium hosts concerts, expos, and sporting events. The Wildy Gymnasium and Southern Palms Hotel often stage live music and heritage shows, especially during festival season. Unlike the more upscale West Coast, the South Coast of Barbados is democratic by design. It invites exploration on foot, meals shared at picnic tables, and conversations sparked between strangers. Here, culture is not staged. It unfolds naturally from the sand to the street corner. Chapter 8. Rum, Rhythm, and Sunset Revelry. The Spirit of Barbados. Few things capture the essence of Barbadian identity like rum. More than just a drink, rum in Barbados is a cultural institution, a link to the island's colonial past, a symbol of social life, and a central player in celebration and storytelling. From centuries-old distilleries to casual roadside rum shops, the island's spirit, both literal and figurative, flows freely. But rum is only one part of the equation. Barbados's relationship with music, dance, and communal festivity transforms each sunset into an invitation to gather, move, and connect. Begin at Mount Gay Rum Distillery, the oldest documented rum distillery in the world, established in 1703. Located just outside Bridgetown, it's a vital stop for those curious about the island's role in global rum history. The visitor experience includes guided tastings of white, gold, and aged rums, along with stories of how molasses, copper stills, and oak barrels shaped what was once called Kill Devil. Mount Gay's legacy isn't just economic, it's emotional. Many Bajans grew up with a bottle in the cabinet, passed between generations during holidays and wakes, victories and losses. Barbados is dotted with hundreds of rum shops, small open-front bars that serve as social clubs, political roundtables, and neighborhood newsrooms. Each has its own character. Some are painted in bright colors, with murals of cricket legends or calypso stars. Others are bare and quiet, tucked between houses or perched at the roadside. Inside, you'll often find locals sipping on Bajan rum mixed with coconut water or a splash of bitters, playing dominoes or debating local politics. These shops aren't tourist attractions, they're community staples. But respectful visitors are always welcome. Music is almost always present. From a low radio in the corner to live acoustic sessions on a Friday night, Barbados breathes rhythm. And while soca, calypso, and reggae dominate today, the island has its own genre. Spooge, a mid-20th century creation that blends ska, calypso, and R&B. Though not as internationally known, Spooge is still played during national events and by local bands who honor its roots. One of the most atmospheric ways to experience the convergence of rum and rhythm is aboard a sunset catamaran cruise. These late-afternoon excursions depart from the west or south coast, offering a few hours of sailing, snorkeling, and sipping. Onboard, steel pan bands provide the soundtrack as the boat glides past golden beaches and rocky cliffs. Snorkel stops often include wreck dives or reef views, while the open bar serves up rum punches, cocktails, and local beer. As the sun dips below the horizon, passengers dance, laugh, and toast the fading day, united by the glow of the setting sun and the slow tempo of island life. On land, sunset often signals the start of dance rehearsals and community performances. The landship movement, for instance, frequently practices in community centers or outdoor pavilions. These stylized dances, inspired by naval maneuvers, are performed to tuk band music and convey the story of survival and navigation in a colonial world. watching the dancers steer imaginary ships through rough seas is both theatrical and profound, an expression of cultural resistance wrapped in performance. Other evenings are more spontaneous, in villages and beach towns. It's common to stumble upon live music at roadside eateries, poetry readings under a tent, or open-air drum circles where everyone is invited to join. Barbados is not a place where art is confined to galleries. It happens in the streets, on porches and churches, and in the echo of the steel pan. Bajans have a saying, "Woo ya rum, ya story," meaning every glass poured is tied to a tale of migration, mischief, love, or loss. The island's festive spirit isn't artificial or seasonal. It's woven into daily life. It shows up at a baptism or a cricket match, in a funeral procession or a food truck parking lot. It's the sound of a conch shell being blown before a toast. It's a grandmother singing calypso while peeling breadfruit. Barbados After Dark is not about wild nightlife alone. It's about warmth, gathering, release, and rhythm. Whether you're toasting rum in a neon-lit rum shop, dancing barefoot to a steel pan on a beach, or swaying quietly on a sailboat at sea, this is how the island invites you in. Chapter 9. Hidden Villages, Healing Gardens, and the Spiritual Soul of Rural Barbados. Away from the popular beaches and festive boardwalks lies a quieter, more contemplative Barbados. The rural interior and northern corners of the island offer a different kind of experience, one shaped by ancestral memory, agricultural life, community traditions, and deep spiritual undercurrents. Here, visitors encounter village life untouched by mass tourism, lush gardens tended by hand, and sacred spaces where old-world wisdom still lingers. Begin in the town of Spuytstown, once a thriving colonial port, and now a living museum of Barbadian resilience. Less commercial than Bridgetown, Spuytstown blends historical architecture with quiet charm. Walk its narrow lanes lined with 18th-century buildings, many made of coral stone and mahogany. Alongside art galleries, small cafes, and produce vendors, you'll find the Arlington House Museum, a three-story interactive center that explores the transatlantic slave trade, plantation life, and emancipation through personal stories and multimedia exhibits. This is not a dramatized history. It is a respectful excavation of truth and legacy. Head inland and you'll reach villages like St. Joseph and St. John, where family farms still grow, yams, cassava, and okra. In these areas, homesteading is a way of life passed through generations. Visitors may find small roadside fruit stalls selling golden apples, tamarind, and soursop, often accompanied by friendly conversation and folklore. These communities value connection over convenience, and every encounter feels personal. Spirituality runs deep in rural Barbados. While Christianity is the dominant faith, many locals blend African spiritual beliefs into their daily lives. In places like Four Roads or Bathsheba's Hills, elders may still refer to herbal remedies, ancestral prayers, and dream interpretations. The legacy of Obeah, a spiritual practice rooted in African cosmology, is not openly discussed, but its influence is embedded in cultural attitudes about justice, protection, and fate. In certain homes, you'll find bottles of seawater on windowsills, red cloths tied to trees, or crosses made from palm fronds, quiet acts of ancestral respect. One of the most serene spiritual spaces is Andromeda Botanic Gardens in St. Lucia. Joseph, created by horticulturist Iris Benoki, the garden is a celebration of Caribbean flora, with rare palms, orchids, ferns, and flowering vines from across the tropics. More than a botanical exhibit, Andromeda is an intentional space for healing and meditation. Visitors can walk quiet paths, journal on shaded benches, or sit in reflection beside koi ponds and lily-covered pools. Educational signage shares not only scientific facts, but cultural anecdotes, like how cassia leaves are used in local medicine, or how nutmeg trees relate to old plantation trade routes. Just east lies the rugged coastline of Bathsheba, famous for its crashing Atlantic surf and the coral rock formations that rise like sculptures from the sea. Surfers brave the waves at Soup Bowl, while nature lovers hike the surrounding trails or explore the tidal pools. Here, the landscape is untamed and windswept, a stark contrast to the calm West Coast, and a favorite for painters, photographers, and poets. There's a rawness in Bathsheba that invites introspection. The people of rural Barbados embody a quiet strength. Their lives are guided by land, faith, and community. Many have never left the island and feel no need to. Elders tell stories of hurricane survival, sugarcane harvests, and community dances in wooden chapels. Their accents are thicker, their wisdom rooted in soil and story. Visitors who engage respectfully, who take time to listen, are often rewarded with insight no guidebook can provide. Markets in these areas are intimate affairs. In villages like Hillaby or Horsehill, farmers gather on Saturdays to sell homegrown produce, homemade condiments, and bush teas. You may hear local names like Saracee, Mauby, or Guinea corn, plants known not just for flavor, but for healing properties. Here, food is medicine and knowledge is shared in passing. Barbados is sometimes perceived as polished and resort-focused, but in these quiet places, the island breathes in its oldest rhythm, one of land, labor, love, and legacy. It's not a place to check off tourist boxes, but to sit still, walk slowly, and absorb something older than time. Chapter 10. Farewell on Cherry Tree Hill. A reflection on culture, connection, and the island within. As the sun begins to set over the coral fields and rolling sugarcane hills, there is perhaps no better place to end a journey through Barbados than at Cherry Tree Hill. Situated in the parish of St. Andrew, this elevated overlook offers a panoramic view of the island's east coast, where the lush interior meets the restless Atlantic. From here, travelers often feel what locals have long known: Barbados is more than a destination. It's a memory in motion, a story written into limestone, rum, and rhythm. From the island's vibrant cropover celebrations to the quiet, windswept shores of Bathsheba, every corner of Barbados has left its imprint. The island is compact, only 21 miles long and 14 miles wide, but its cultural depth is vast. The scent of grilled fish in Oystens, the echo of Calypso in St. Lawrence Gap, and the hum of took drums in rural parishes all speak to a living tradition, one that refuses to be contained by geography. For first-time visitors, the journey often begins with beaches, and rightly so. The water here is world-class, turquoise, warm, and healing. But the true richness of Barbados lies inland and in between, in the garden paths of Hunt's Gardens, the cave systems of Harrison's Cave, and the storytelling circles of remote village corners. These are the places where culture is not performed, but lived, where identity is not explained, but felt. One of the enduring lessons of Barbados is the value of slowness. This is an island that resists haste. Buses may be late, conversations may wander, but time here bends toward meaning. A 3-minute exchange with a fruit vendor can yield a history lesson. A walk through Speightstown can uncover centuries of resistance and reinvention. The landscape may be tropical, but the soul of the island is carved in history and shaped by its people. Barbadians, known proudly as Bajans, are among the Caribbean's most hospitable, not through practiced politeness, but through genuine openness. Whether it's a rum shop, regular inviting you into a domino game, or a grandmother explaining how to make proper cuckoo, visitors are welcomed into a national rhythm rooted in resilience, pride, and joy. That spirit is infectious. Visitors who come expecting a vacation often leave having experienced something closer to a transformation. They begin to understand that this is not just an island of sand and sea, but of story and substance. As the golden hour gives way to twilight, the breeze at Cherry Tree Hill rustles the cane fields and carries with it the faint echoes of drums from distant villages. In the quiet, One might recall the first bite of flying fish, the sight of dancers on Kadoomint Day, the stillness of an inland gully, or the sound of waves beneath a catamaran at sunset. It is in this moment that Barbados reveals itself, not through spectacle but through memory. The island does not ask to be seen, it asks to be understood. And perhaps that is the greatest takeaway, that travel is not just about going somewhere, but becoming part of something. In Barbados, the journey is layered, lush with history, alive with culture, and grounded in community. It is not something you take, it is something you carry. As night falls over the island and the first stars appear above the palms, one thing becomes clear. You don't leave Barbados behind. You leave with Barbados inside you.